Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Joining us, former NFL player, long snapper for the Seahawks, and played a little ball at the University of Texas as well. The people here
Welcome
in Houston.
Horns.
There you go. Luckily, our producer is not in today, who's an Aggie, so he might.
Well, he was there. You know, he saw what happened the day after Thanksgiving or whatever that was.
Yeah, he was actually there, Nate. Yeah, he was actually there.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah. He was there with a little lighter pockets.
Yeah, he was there, and they forced him to leave after the third quarter. He got out and bounced right there.
Oh, boy.
All right, also Green Beret. Also, before we get started, I know I speak for Clint and everybody here. We are so thankful for serving your country and everything that you've done to allow people like us to live and live our lives. So we are very, very appreciative of that. And thank you for everything you've done for people like us.
Of course, my honor. I trust me, I needed it. I needed to be a part of something and to kind of find my purpose. And I felt like I hadn't done much for others in my life at that time. And so it was. But I appreciate you saying that.
I'm sure you've talked about this a lot. What was the moment though that is there a specific moment that led you to say, man, I've got to do this. I've got to do something.
Yes. So I was 23, and I went to – I was not in a good place, mentally, physically, all kinds of things. And I woke up on my buddy's couch, hungover, and on the coffee table was this Time magazine. And the cover of it said the tragedy in Sudan. And the article, at least the one I was reading, was about – the genocide in the Darfur. And this was in 2004, right? 300,000 people being killed, millions displaced. Most of the men were off fighting or had been killed. It's women and children just flooding these refugee camps, and they're understaffed. So I called all these NGOs like, hey, you know, can I come help? Like Doctors Without Borders, Child Fund, Catholic Relief Services. And they were all saying, we appreciate your passion, but you don't have a college degree. You don't have any special skills. What are you going to do? I'm like, well, I mean, I've worked construction. I worked on a fishing boat. I've done all kinds of odd jobs. I could figure there'll be some kind of manual labor thing I can help with. I promise you. And they were like, "Well, it's just not that simple." And I said, "I'm just going to go anyway." So I went to the travel agency because we didn't buy stuff online back then, to the AAA, and I bought a plane ticket to go to Chad. And I flew over there, and I talked my way onto a UN flight and got out to the refugee camps, and I volunteered for a couple of months, and that completely changed my life, my perspective. For the first time in my life, I felt in a weird way at home, but that because I was – because people were excited and needed me, you know, excited to see me in the morning, like the kids come play soccer with us and just simple stuff, passing out food rations and helping in the medical centers with what little skills I had. And then my last week there, I got malaria, and this local family put me up, and they wouldn't take a dollar from me. Mm. And they put this radio next to the cot, and the only station that came through was the BBC News, and the Second Battle of Fallujah was going on. And I'm listening to these brave young men and women, they were mostly Marines in that battle, that were risking their lives to fight for these people in Iraq. And I just said, you know what? That's next. When I come home, I'm going to join the military. So I came home, found out about the Special Forces and their mission, which had a humanitarian side to what they're doing beyond kicking doors down and, you know, doing bad things to worse people. But it just, like, it all clicked in a kind of a quick time frame. So I went from this person who just didn't have any belief in themselves and didn't feel good about themselves at all to enlisting and trying to be a Green Beret. But it was through that trip to Africa. That's a long story, but
no,
it's a good question because it – That's the biggest turning point in my life was that's 20 years ago now, 21 years ago now. But
how about the process of becoming a Green Beret? Like what was that like, and how does that compare to the your days playing football and preparing to play a game kind of?
Yeah,
thing?
I mean, that also a great question, because a lot of times people are like, "There's no way football is as tough as being a Green Beret," and I'm like, "Well, it's different because there's a lot more sort of God-given athleticism or whatever you want to call it that is required to play football at a high level," mm-hmm. right? Whereas in the Special Forces, it's a lot more of just that mental toughness. You just, no matter what, just you cannot quit. And you want to all the time because
right.
it's super hard
yeah.
and it's long. The training, you know, from basic training all the way through earning your Green Beret is like 2 years.
Mm.
And SF stands for Special Forces. It also stands for Suck Fest because that's
yeah.
what it is. Like,
yeah.
Every day. You just like, oh, I don't want to do this again, and you just got to. But it's all worth it once you
yeah.
get done. But it is very challenging. And you do a lineup at the beginning of all the guys trying out for it. And you could pick which people you think are going to make it, and you might be right one out
did
of
you,
five times.
Did you just point to me?
Wait, because there's no way. But he would do it. This would be the guy.
No,
and
not.
you'd be like. He made it.
that dude did it.
he said,
hey, what was the most difficult thing you had to do, or the most memorable thing story? I mean, surely you got some crazy stories
yeah,
about the training.
Yeah.
What was the wildest?
I mean, the most difficult for me was SEER school, Survival Evasion Resistance Escape. If you've ever seen G.I. Jane, they do like it's like a mock POW camp
yeah,
towards
yeah.
the end of the movie. Similar thing because. When you're tired and you haven't ate anything and you're just freezing, we did this in February, you know, and you start to believe that it's real. You
right,
know what
right.
I mean? Even though it's simulation.
Mental as much as anything.
Yeah,
right?
And
yeah.
it feels very real. I mean, they're whooping on you and they know all these things about you and they're interrogating you and it's crazy, right? And so that was the toughest part, just getting through that. And, you know, you want to tap out, but you can't. Most memorable, though, was – earlier in the training is right after selection. So selection is like a three and a half week long. Every day you've got a big rucksack on your back and you're navigating through, you know, the North Carolina sticks, basically,
mm-hmm.
trying to find this stick in the ground that's got a grid coordinate on it with a compass and a map, and that's all you got, right? And then you got to go find the next one. And it's long, it's hard, it's a lot of people don't make the time standard because it is challenging. So getting done with that, and then they're calling out names and putting you in these different formations, and you don't know what it means at the end of the selection. You know one of them's good and one of them's not, right? And I'm standing there, and I'm looking around, and I'm thinking, like, I don't know if this is a good line. And you look over here, you're like, well, no, that guy's been crushing it. So, but then they had these older Green Berets, veterans, walking around in civilian clothes, you know. And they're kind of walking around, like, assessing everybody. And this dude walks up and, like, whispers in my ear, "Welcome to the Brotherhood." And when he said that, I just got chills. And I was like, oh, man, I almost started crying. You know what I mean? It was that was a moment that just,
yeah.
like, whew.
Oh, that's great.
Even though you still got a year plus of training. There's no guarantee from that point.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
But you got a better shot. Once you get through selection, you're like, all right, well, I can do this.
Nate Boyer joins us, former NFL player, also a member of the University of Texas, came as a Longhorn, as you just heard him at the start of this, Hook'em Horns, as he joins us here on The Drive, right here live on Radio Row. What led you to Austin? As somebody, a California kid, grew up in California, what led you to Austin?
Oh, man. It was a great city. I'd only been there once, you know. Part of it was the school, and part of it was the team. I never played football in my life, and it was a huge regret.
You never played football in your life?
I never played football. I played baseball. I played basketball. I played soccer.
Well, hold on. When did you start playing football?
When I was 29. Naturally. You know what, though? If I would have played when I was younger, my dad told me this, and he's so right. If I would have played when I was younger, because I was a good athlete, never a great athlete. I was like sixth man on the basketball team and, you know, those kind of things. Like, I was first team all league in baseball, but as a utility because I played every random position and whatever. He was like, if you would have played in high school, maybe you would have done okay, but you would have realized how impossible this is, you know, or you would have thought that. And you just wouldn't have tried. You wouldn't have tried out. But because you had that naivety, which isn't always a bad thing to have a little bit, you were like, eh, screw it. I mean, worse is going to happen if they get cut.
Yeah,
and I didn't. You know, I ended up working out. And not that I didn't prepare for it, but it's a good point. I never thought of it that way, but when he told me that, I was like, you're right. I think he's absolutely right. So if I had, when I was younger, I wouldn't have tried. But I wanted to go somewhere with a legendary program, even though we weren't very good when I was there. We were 8-5, 9-4 days before it got real bad. And now they're really good, which is awesome. But sort of the end of Mac's career, Mac Brown's career is when I was there. But anyway, yeah, I loved Austin. You know, I remember the first time I went there. Well, second time I went there. First time I went there, I just partied on 6th Street. Second time I went there to look at the school.
Did you have a spot? Did you have a bar?
There's not one. There's too many. There's too many. But I do have a little stake in a place called El Cockfight in Austin. So if you're in Austin, go to El Cockfight.
I'm sorry, it's called
El Cockfight. Yeah, it's not a gay bar. However, a lot of people think it is.
El
and
Cockfight.
It's all good. We love everybody, man. We don't care.
El Cockfight, not a gay
look,
bar. Gotcha.
To find out, you got to go. It's open to interpretation right now, but
exactly.
you got to go.
And you
I'm intrigued.
Never know about Austin. I married a Longhorn, so.
Oh, there you go. Good man.
Yeah, hopefully she's not been there, Nate. I'm just being honest with you. On the outside.
Well, we got a big neon sign that says world's greatest cock when you walk in there.
Oh, like, well, I mean. Again, I hope she hadn't been there.
Now, was that you? Did you push for that sign?
No, Nate? I didn't.
Okay,
I didn't. I did nothing to do with the design. I was a silent investor. Obviously, I'm not silent now, but.
Look, the next time we go, we'll go in there together.
You
got to
go.
We'll experience it. That'll be.
But I showed up. I'll tell you real quick. I showed up in Austin. I'm in my dress blues. It's my last several months in the military, and I was wanting to get into school, and I didn't have great high school grades, but I was like, oh, you know, I'm just going to show up in the admissions office with my Green Beret on and uniform, they'll help me. Yeah. They'll let me know what I need to do to get in. And I get in, get in the taxi, because this is before Uber and Lyft. And the taxi driver's taking me up there. And, you know, taxi drivers, they're half of them are crazy, not all of them. But they're out there, dudes. And this guy was hilarious. And he was like, have you ever been to Austin? And I was like, yeah, once. But, you know, I didn't really spent real time here. And he's like, oh, man, you're going to love it. All the cowboys smoke pot and all the hippies carry guns. And I was like, he's like, everybody just kind of gets along out here. And I was like, all right, cool. Yeah, so
yeah. He wasn't too far off, was
once he?
He
said that, I was like, I'm in.
I'm in. Yeah.
Hey, Nate, tell us about MVP, man. And I know, you know, you guys are doing some big things there. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, Emerging Vets and Players, co-founded with Jay Glazer almost, I guess, 9 years ago now. And what we do is we bring together combat vets and former professional athletes, and we help them find purpose and identity when they lose a uniform. Look, the battlefield and the ball field are different places. No one's ever – some people do, but no one's realistically comparing going to war with playing a game.
Yep.
But the locker room, the camaraderie, the identity with that uniform, the structure, there's so many things that are similar. Honestly, the sacrifice. It's a different kind of sacrifice, but if you want to be elite – elite athlete, there's a lot of sacrifice that goes into that. Mm-hmm. But then it's over, and a lot of times, you know, the average NFL career is 3 years. You're 25 years old, and you feel like you've peaked and you'll never be great again. That's tough, you know, to be on that pedestal and come down. And vets feel that way, too. Not so much because, you know, maybe they were in the limelight or whatever, but you had this strong connection to a sense of purpose, and you were a part of something important. You had a lot of responsibility and all that, and then you get out, and you don't even know where to start. You're trying to figure out maybe a corporate job or whatever. You're missing that element of, I mean, honestly, the adrenaline, but also just the camaraderie and the connection to something that's bigger than you. You know, yeah. That's truly bigger than you. And so they have mutual respect between the two. They look up to each other. You know, kind of heroes to each other. So we brought them together, recreating that locker room, and really, it's just a network of people that are helping build each other up, got each other's back. We meet up in the gym weekly and train for 45 minutes or so, and then we huddle up and just sit around like we're doing and just talk. You know, sometimes it's just a conversation like this. Sometimes somebody's going through something pretty heavy, and we rally around that too. But it's really just about rebuilding the locker room, that community. That's really what MVP is all about. There's a movie that I directed called MVP.
Okay.
That's out on Prime and Apple TV and all that. If people want to learn more, go to the website, go to vetsandplayers.org, but also check the movie out. And if you're in New Orleans, if you guys are still here Friday, are you?
We will.
Friday night, Molly's at the market. We have an MVP party. We're going to have vets and athletes bartending back there. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be a blast, and it is free. It's an open invite.
Look out now.
I like that now.
But
I'll
make sure you guys, if they're aligned, I'll pull you guys around.
I like that. No, Nate, we know you're a busy man and a lot to get to. We certainly appreciate you stopping by. A lot of people on the text line, great interview.
Hell yeah.
Liked hearing from you, and we appreciate, again, everything you've done, and we appreciate your service.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right. Really that's Nate Boyer, who joins the drive in the exclusive furniture hot seat. And he did it well. He did it well. Coming up as
warmed
we
it
continue.
Up. Got a good warmed up.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333. Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy two and get three free of equal or lesser value plus CRV. Limit 3 free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit 2 packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each. Limit 4 items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, it's 3-time Super Bowl champion Mark Schlereth of the Singing Truth Podcast. The playoffs are here, and that means the race to the big game is on. Join my co-host Mike Evans and I as we follow along this NFL postseason, breaking down the matchups each week and see who will shine when the lights are brightest. You know I speak nothing but the stinking truth. Follow and listen to Stinking Truth on free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.